Tonight we're going to get back into our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. And if you have your Bible and you're able, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and we'll continue our study. Now in chapter 13, which we looked at a few weeks ago, we dealt with the Corinthian love problem. They had a problem with love in their church. They were exalting spiritual gifts and they were a very gifted church. But what the Apostle Paul does through the Holy Spirit in chapter 13, it shows them the superiority of love. And it's one of the great chapters in the Word of God. And it stresses how that God's people, above all qualities, need to have the quality of love. Now, the Corinthian church excelled in spiritual gifts, and they exalted spiritual gifts, particularly the gift of tongues. And in chapter 14, what the Apostle Paul does is he addresses their abuse of that particular gift. And what he's going to do to correct that abuse is he's going to provide for them some guidelines with regard to speaking in tongues in a church service. Now, these guidelines were just not given by the Apostle Paul. They were given through Paul by the Holy Spirit. So you can't unplug the guidelines from the Lord, because God gave these guidelines to provide some regulations with regard, some guidelines for speaking in tongues in a church service. So we're going to look at what those guidelines were, and we're going to look at some of the problems that the Corinthians had with regard to their abuse of their spiritual gifts. Now, before we get into it, remember that the gift of tongues was the gift of languages. The word tongue just simply means a language. If a person had the gift of tongues, they would be given the ability to speak in a language. And you find it in the book of Acts chapter 2. I'm going to mention this to you again, because that's when the apostles on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. And let me read just a little bit about that. And here's where you get the definition of what a tongue is. It says, "Now when this was noised abroad," this is Acts 2:6, "and the multitude came together, and they were confounded," or troubled in minds, the idea of confounded, "because every man heard them speak in his own language." In his own language. So that's the Bible definition of tongues. Jews came from every nation under heaven, or close to every nation under heaven, that was gathered there at Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, let me read 2 and verse 5. "And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." So the Galilean fishermen, these apostles were given the ability to speak in the language of the people, of these Jews that had came and made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to observe the Feast of Pentecost. So they were able to hear and they were able to understand the Word of God in their own language. So this is a Bible definition of what a tongue is. Now, when you go to 1 Corinthians 14, it speaks of an unknown tongue. And that word is used, like, for instance, chapter 14, verse 2, "For he that speaks in a unknown tongue." You have that in verse 2. And you have it mentioned several times in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, where it uses the term unknown tongue. Well, the problem with that is the word unknown is in italics. You see it in verse 2, as I said. You see it again in verse 13, where it uses the term unknown tongue. And the word unknown, that means it's been supplied. It's not a good supply, because when a tongue is used, it's a known tongue. I mean, there'll be someone there that knows the tongue. And for instance, in Acts chapter 2, and when the different languages was spoke, those who knew that language would have understood what the apostles were saying in their own language, and that would have been a sign to them. So a language, the gift of tongues is the gift of languages, the ability to speak in a tongue that you've never studied or preached, or I'm sorry, never studied, or it's not your natural tongue. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 18, he says, "I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding and by my voice that I might teach others also. And 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. There's the word unknown again, but it's in italics. It's been supplied. It's not a good supply. The word, that's why it's in italics. It should be in a tongue. And there's not an unknown tongue. It was always a language that someone that wasn't their given language, that wasn't their common language. God would give, for instance, the Apostle Paul to speak in a language where he was at of the people that he was preaching to. It's tremendous. You can see what a tremendous gift it would be for a missionary. For instance, if they go to Africa, and then God would give them the ability to speak in Swahili or speak in whatever language where they went. That's what the gift in the New Testament of tongues was. And if you want to know what tongues is, you look at Acts 2. You'll see very plainly there that it is a dialect. It is a known language. There's really no such thing as an unknown tongue. So I just want you to get that right off the bat. Now, as I said, the Corinthians were abusing their gift. And what was happening is in their services, they were out of order. And they were people there that wasn't understanding what was going on. And the word understanding is a key word in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He uses it several times. Chapter 14, verse 2, where he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, that's a problem when no man understands him. That's a problem. He said, he that speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And, of course, spiritual gifts wasn't given for self-edification. But when they were abusing the tongues, they were doing it not for the glory of God or for the benefit of the hearer. They were doing it to edify themselves. So there needs to be understanding. Now, listen what Paul says about understanding, and watch for how many times he uses this word understanding, because it's a key word in chapter 14. The reason why he's given the regulations here in chapter 14 is because they were abusing the gift, and there was confusion in the church of Corinth in their worship service. They weren't done decently and in order, and people, especially visitors, was not understanding what was going on. And God is not the author of confusion. So these regulations are given by the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit. Now, if it's biblical, then it must abide by the rules and guidelines that are set down in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If it doesn't abide by those guidelines, then it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the author of this book. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, it was written over by over a period of around 1,500 years, over 40 different writers, but the Bible has one author, and that author is the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible's not going to contradict itself. If it sets down regulations for tongues or languages, the gift of languages, then if it's true, it will abide by the guidelines that the Holy Spirit has indeed set down. Okay? So let's go ahead and notice the first guideline in the text. We pointed out the problem with understanding. That's why he's given the guidelines. And let's go ahead and look what they are. The first one in regulation number one, let's put it regulation number one, it says in verse 27, it says, if any man speak in a tongue, let it be by two, or the most by three. So what he does here is he limits how many does so in a church service. He says, let it be by two, or to most by three. No more than three people were allowed to do that in a church service. See, so he actually limits to the number of people that did so. Now, you got to remember, the gift of tongues wasn't for everybody. I think that's another error that has crept in today, is that everybody can speak in tongues. I don't believe that's biblical. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives rhetorical questions, and here's what it says in verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? What's the answer to that? Well, the answer is no. The question implies the answer. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Well, the answer to those questions is no. Not everybody had these miraculous spiritual gifts. They were given sovereignly. They were given the divided sovereignly as the Lord seemed fit. 1 Corinthians 12:11. It says, let me go ahead and move up a little bit. It says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these things worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. He dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Holy Spirit provided or divided these gifts as he will. And not everybody had the ability to do these things. And that's the way it was in the New Testament. And that's what you see in the New Testament. So when he gave these gifts, not everybody had the ability to speak in tongues. Not everybody could do the gifts of healing. Not everybody could do these things. They were divided as the Holy Spirit divided them out. Now, as the Holy Spirit divided these miraculous gifts, which I think accredited the messengers back in the New Testament. You got to remember, they never had a completed New Testament like we do. And they were signs. One reason, they were signs to people, unbelieving people. And so that they could see that they were indeed sent from God. It was one of the evidences that they were. Now, of course, you got to also remember, whenever the Lord does anything, there's always going to be counterfeits. And Satan has the ability to do miracles also. So he's going to try to counterfeit what is true. And that same thing is true with regard to spiritual gifts. So regulation number one, for the gift of tongues is, in a church service, it be by two and at the most by three. That's 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, it wasn't to be more than that. And they said, well, you might be thinking, well, if the Spirit moved 10 people to do it? Holy Spirit will not contradict His Word. The Holy Spirit will not contradict His Word. So, there would have needed to have been restraint in that area, and there would have needed to be obedience in that area. Remember, this gift, two, and at the most, by three. And if you have more than that going on, then that's not of the Holy Spirit. Because He will not contradict the regulations that He sets down here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. At the most, by three. So, see, that's regulation number one. So, remember what a tongue is again. It's not no such thing as an unknown tongue. It's a language. Corinth was a seaport city. They no doubt would have people in their services that spoke in different languages. And God would give someone in the church the ability to share the message with them in their own language. And that would be a great sign to them. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians 14 says, wherefore tongues are a sign, not to them that believe. It's not a sign for believers, but is a sign of them that believe not. I mean, that would be a tremendous miracle if you show up at a service, you spoke a different dialect, and then God would gift someone in the church with the ability to share with you the message of Jesus in their own language. That's what the gift of tongues was. It was a known dialect, just like you see in Acts chapter 2. So, two, and at the most, by three. Okay? You know, the Scriptures tells us to test all things, to prove all things, and then to hold fast to that which is good. Well, how do you test all things? What is the tester? What do we go by to test things? What's the Scriptures? You must test all things by the Word of God. Well, who gave these regulations is the Lord. He's the one that gave it. He's the one that provided these, and we are indeed to go by them. If someone doesn't go by these regulations given by the Holy Spirit, then it's not a biblical practice. Not a biblical practice at all. So we are to test all things, and then to hold fast to that which is true. It says in 1 John 4, 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. So we have to just not believe everything. We do, though, have to test all things. So you be sure to do that. And that's what we're doing. If you're seeking to test whether a tongue speaking is true in a service, does it go above two or three? If it's biblical, it's not going to go above two or three. If it does, and you have the whole church doing it, there's something wrong there. There's something wrong there because it's not abiding by the rules. Now, why is he giving these rules? So it won't be confusing. You got a bunch of people. I mean, if you have a crowd of people getting up speaking in English, each having their own conversation, that's confusing, isn't it? You can imagine if it's in a different dialect, it's even more confusing. So he's doing this to correct the confusing worship services at Corinth. God does things, as we're going to say here in a little bit, he does things decently and in order, and he's not the author of confusion. So these regulations are designed to correct the confusing church services that they were having and the abuse of their spiritual gifts. All right, regulation number one. Two, or at the most, three. Now, along with that, that had to be done in turn. It had to be in turn. You didn't have people getting up and speaking in tongues at the same time. That just didn't happen. Now, it was happening there at Corinth, but remember, they were abusing their spiritual gifts. And they were getting up and they were doing it at the same time. And you can't understand anything that's being said if you have several people speaking at the same time. So he says, not only does he limit the number of people that spoke in tongues in the church of Corinth, but he also limited it to being done by course. At the most, two or three, and they had to do it in course. That means they had to do it one at a time. One would get up and speak. Then after they were done, another one would speak. Then after they were done, then another one would speak. You see, it wasn't done at the same time. And because anytime people are speaking in the same time and it's not explained, you can't understand it. See, the purpose of these regulations was to correct the errors and the abuse of their spiritual gifts. And if it's biblical, it'll abide by the regulations because the Holy Spirit's not going to move somebody to do contrary to what he reveals in this book. This book is the texture. We test things by the book. So if it's biblical, then it will be two or at the most three do it. And when they do so, it will be done by chorus. That means it will be done in order. It will be done in order. One will speak, the other will sit down, another one will speak, and that order. But then again, it will be no more than three. Now, why would they do it in course? Because to do it all at the same time, to speak at the same time, is confusing. It's confusing. You can't follow it. Even if you're speaking English, everybody at the same time. We realize, wait a minute, if we're in a room and everybody's trying to talk at the same time, and you're leading a meeting, for example, you say, wait a minute, one at a time. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit's saying here. Two at the most three, and that by chorus. That means that in turn. Now remember, it's always going to be a what again? It's always going to be a language. In Acts 2, that's where you have the law first. That's where you have the record, the first record of speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2. And you'll notice that it's a language. The word unknown has been supplied in the scriptures, and it just means a language. It's a known dialect. And it was a great ability that Paul had. Everywhere he went, he could preach the language. He could speak the language. All right, regulation number three. And that's also given in 1 Corinthians 12:27. He says, let it be two or to most but three. And let it be in chorus, that means in turn. Let one interpret. There will be an interpreter. So let's picture this now. Let's say if you're at the Church of Corinth and you hear people there and someone gets up and they speak in, let's just use an illustration. They speak Spanish, whereas, say, everybody in the congregation spoke Greek. And here's some visitors there, and they spoke Spanish. And then what would happen, someone would be given the gift. Someone was given the gift to speak in Spanish, and they'd speak in Spanish, and the Spanish folks that visited there at the church that day understood what they said. They heard the message in their language. Well, you had English speak people speaking there, never understood the Spanish. So the Lord had interpreters there. And the interpreter would explain what was said in English to those that didn't understand Spanish. That's so everyone in the congregation would understand. You see, over and over and over again, you read 1 Corinthians 14, you notice how many times you read the word understanding. It's used many times in this word, in this chapter, in chapter 14. People weren't understanding what was going on there at Corinth in the church services. They're speaking at the same time. They wasn't going in turn. There wasn't no interpretation. Tongues needs to always have an interpreter. That's what it says in verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. No interpreter, then keep silence. Over and over again, you can see people speak in tongues in church services, and there is no interpretation of it. If it's biblical, they will be an interpreter. If it's biblical, they will be, and it'll be done in turn, and it will be at the most two or three. It will abide by the rules and guidelines that's set down by the Holy Spirit in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So, there will always be an interpreter. There will be someone to explain what was said to the rest of the people that doesn't understand the tongue. It's so important that there be an interpreter that explain it to the rest of the people. Again, let me read this again. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. So, you can see how important it is. Why he's doing these things is because there was so much confusion there in the services at Corinth. Notice verse 33 now, 1 Corinthians 14. I've been quoting this verse all through the broadcast this evening. It says, God's not the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. But of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. You see, the word churches is in the plural. That's indeed a local church. Everywhere that the Apostle Paul went on his missionary journeys, first, second, third, everywhere he went and people were saved in a city, they established New Testament churches. To carry the commission, to provide that assembly place. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the habit of some is. To provide that assembly place and to also provide a place to carry the commission. To spread the gospel, make disciples, which is you do that by spreading the gospel. Minister the ordinance of baptism and to teach the word of God. The church is referred to as the pillar and ground of the truth. You need to be able to find God's Word at God's house. And that's just what should be what drives you to the house of God, is so that you can hear the Word of God. All right. Regulation number one, two or three at the most, in a church service. It has to be done in turn. And then number three, it has to be an interpreter. And it must be a language. I mentioned that in the beginning. It has to be a language. And really, there's no such thing as an unknown tongue. All right. Now, why is it done that way? So it won't be confusion. God's not the author of confusion. A lot of turmoil and strife. God does everything in order. Let me read down in verse 40. Let all things be done decently. Decently and in order. Decently and in order. That's how he wants it done. But many times, some of the most out of control services, many times are done with regard to services where tongues are out of control. Everybody's speaking, everybody's screaming together, everybody's doing all these different things, and it's just nothing but confusing. Can't understand what's going on. The tongues are not interpreted. They're not interpreted for other people who don't understand them. Well, tongues will always be a language. And if they're biblical, they'll follow the biblical design. The last regulation I want to share with you is it would seem to me to have to be a man, too, in a church service. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, remember, this is the chapter where Paul is giving regulations with regard to tongues in a church service. He's regulating them because the Corinthian church had gotten out of control. They were doing things not decently and in order. They were exalting their spiritual gifts, and they weren't loving one another. That's, of course, why chapter 13 is the love chapter, is in the epistle to the Corinthians. It would need to be a man. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Now, folks, that's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14. Now, who is Paul speaking for? He's speaking for the Holy Spirit. Some of the most important people in a church is your women. You can't have a good, productive church without women. At the church that I pastor, the women do a tremendous work in the church. But everybody has their role. There are certain roles that the women have in a church that I certainly can't do. And there are certain roles that men have that the women are not to do. So there's well-defined roles. And who set those rules and guidelines down is the pastor. Well, here, if a woman it says it's a shame for a woman to speak in the church, that would apply to tongues, wouldn't it? So that would be our fifth regulation that I want you to see. It would have to be a man. And if it would be biblical, then it would have to be under the directions and guidelines that set down in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Well, folks, we're fast running out of time, and we've looked at the regulations concerning tongue speaking in a church. Remember, it's a language. That's the first thing I want you to remember. And in chapter 14, Paul's correcting the abuse of the gift in the church of Corinth. And he set the regulations, number one, two, at the most three. Number two, it needed to be done in turn. See, everything, God's going to do everything decent, folks, and in order. At the most three, and that in turn. There will also always be an interpreter that would be able to interpret to the rest of the congregation what was said. Why was he doing it this way? So it wouldn't be confusing. It would need to be a man, because the women were told not to speak in the public assembly in 1 Corinthians 14, 34. And verse 35, even if it asks a question, let them do so, it says, at home. This is the biblical guidelines that set down in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. These are the Holy Spirit's guidelines. And if it's true, if it would be real today, then it would abide by the guidelines that the Holy Spirit gave in this text. Well, folks, this is Good Hope Through Grace. May God add His blessings to His study in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Thank you for listening.